Small Biz America.
This is Small Biz Spotlight, featuring up-close interviews with small business leaders and entrepreneurs across America. And now, here's your host, David Wolf.
There's no greater challenge facing the human race than the issues of global warming and the depletion of energy and material resources, and we need to take some necessary steps to change the course we're currently on. Our guest on this edition is dedicated to helping make the changes necessary to change that course. Howard Kaplan is an architect and the co-founder and CEO of CASA, a non-for-profit organization with a mission to facilitate, lead, and manage the transformation of the way buildings are designed and constructed. Joining us on the line from his office in Albuquerque, New Mexico, is Howard Kaplan. He's the co-founder of CASA. Howard, welcome to the program.
Thank you, David. I'm very glad to be here.
Share, if you would, your career background in architecture, the one that set the stage for the creation of CASA.
Well, I guess it goes back to the 1970s when I first moved to New Mexico, and there was a very large solar incentive going on in this state. Having moved from New York City where there wasn't, I was very impressed by what was happening, and I began to get in touch with the fact that buildings could be designed to run on much less energy than they were. Then that kind of got put aside after the 70s when the government pulled back a lot of their incentives for people to actually go out and put solar on their homes. But this actually got revived about 7 or 8 years ago when several things converged, and I was asked to join a group that was forming a new chapter of the U.S. Green Building Council, which is a national organization promoting green building. And I was very impressed with what they were doing. And through that, I became president of the council and served on various committees and got very involved in promoting green building through legislation and regulation, and realized that we needed an organization that could speak for the building industry as a whole. And so that led to the formation of CASA, and our main mission is to unify the building industry for these efforts, to educate and to advocate.
In what year was CASA created, Howard?
Actually, we've only been a nonprofit since 2007, so we're a pretty young organization, and but we are growing and making very good headway.
From a formal standpoint, if I had to ask you, what's the stated mission of CASA today, how would you respond?
Well, the stated mission remains the same from the early days of its beginnings, and the mission is to unify the building industry for a carbon-neutral future. And by carbon-neutral, we mean buildings that neither consume any energy produced emitting greenhouse gases,
yeah,
or that the buildings are not giving off any greenhouse gases themselves. So that's how we are defining carbon neutral.
I know you've said that buildings in general are far and away the greatest consumers of energy and materials, and maybe to a lesser extent direct contributors to greenhouse gas emissions through the direct combustion of natural gas and oil and heating and cooling. What do we not understand about how current construction methods contribute to the environmental problems we're now facing?
Well, the big thing about buildings, and it's only come forward in the last several years, being pushed primarily by an organization called Architecture 2030, and Ed Masri, who founded that organization, who is a friend of mine, he began to put numbers together and realized that all the discussions about greenhouse gas have to do with energy production. And energy production is only one side of the equation. Most energy, over 50% of all energy, is produced in order to run buildings. That's
wow.
All kinds of buildings, your homes, schools, factories, shopping centers, whatever. I mean, we just take it for granted. We flip on the lights, we flip on the thermostat. All that takes energy to run. And one of the reasons we have a big greenhouse gas problem is because we're always consuming more energy, which means that we always have to produce more energy, we have to build more power plants, and about 50% of the energy produced in this country is through coal-fired power plants, which are far and away the worst polluters. Here in the state of New Mexico, it's much higher than that. But so decreasing the amount of energy that buildings use is critical, absolutely critical, and more critical than transportation, more critical than getting cars to run on 40, 50 miles per gallon. We can make a much more significant impact more quickly by reducing the energy consumption in buildings and not having to build plants, and then in the future even converting some of those older plants to more efficient means, or retiring them completely.
We do tend to think of transportation as sort of a lead story around all of this, don't we?
We do, and transportation is the glamour because, you know, anytime we drive down the street, we can always see a car that's blowing exhaust out of its tailpipe. So
yeah,
it's something visible we can see. So I think we relate to that. And but buildings, in a sense, are so ubiquitous. Ubiquitous in the sense we're always in buildings, in and out of buildings, and we just don't think of them that way.
Right.
We have to change our consciousness a bit.
In every way, it's a comfort zone in terms of how we think about all of this. And it's not really only about the environment, right, Howard? I mean, it's also about just living healthier lives. There's a component of that that I know is a part of all this.
Green building in its totality looks at five areas. How we use land, what kind of land we use to build buildings on, how we use water, how we're conserving water, recycling water, how we're dealing with energy, and that's one of the big issues we're talking about here. What kind of materials we put in those buildings. You know, for years, materials, let's just take paint, that's an easy one. Every time you got your house painted inside, you knew it was going to smell for a few days. Well, that smell is volatile organic compounds, and volatile organic compounds are bad for you, plain and simple. The industry has responded very quickly. Now it is so easy to get paints that have low or no volatile organic compounds. And when you paint your house, you're not going to have those odors. You're not going to have that outgassing. That's not going to happen. And then also, another component is, what is the air like inside your building? Is this a healthy building? Do you have proper ventilation? Do you have proper filtration for all kinds of things? So those are the components, all the components of a green building. But of course, energy is probably the most talked about because it is the largest component of all this. And also, the thing we have to realize that a building, a house, a building, school, anything that runs on less energy saves you money. There's no question about that.
We're visiting with Howard Kaplan. He's the co-founder of CASA, that website, www.casa-center.org, dedicated to changing the way we build our buildings. What exactly is LEED certification?
LEED is a program developed by the U.S. Green Building Council because they said we need to develop a definition of what is a green building. And includes all those five components that I talked about before. And it is basically a rating system of points, and it has four levels, certified, silver, gold, platinum, and each level, of course, takes you to a much more significant level of greenness, shall we say.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how the LEED system has become the gold standard very quickly. USGBC only started in the early 90s, and here we are less than 20 years into it, and it's absolutely the gold standard, and it's what everybody looks to have a building. So it defines what is a green building. And if you get a LEED-certified building in any of those categories, you have to have points in every different category to make that happen. It's more holistic and well-rounded than just saying, oh, I've got a good energy system. No, you have to consider the water, the site, the materials, the air quality, all of that. LEED is, there's a program, it was developed originally for commercial buildings, and commercial includes schools and government buildings and things like that. And now there is a program for residential buildings that is actually taking off quite well also.
Is there an incentive for builders and those involved in the industry to get a certification such as LEED? And what I mean is an incentive beyond the global or planetary considerations?
Well, there are several incentives. First of all, it's the bragging rights of being able to say you have a LEED building, because right now it is still not very common. Number two, the incentives are economic. That building, that home, will cost less to operate. And we have an example right down the street from me here in Albuquerque of a approximately 50,000 square foot office building that was constructed last year, LEED Silver. And I happen to know the owner of that building quite well, and he is just really amazed at how much less it is. His energy costs are on a monthly basis. And when you have a building of that size and you normally would have energy costs of $6,000 to $10,000 a month, I mean, a 50% saving that is significant over the year. Then, depending upon what state you live in, many states, including New Mexico, have tax incentives for building LEED buildings or energy efficient buildings or whatever scorecard that they are using at that point. And so you can get direct tax incentives for your business or personally or however that works.
Mm-hmm.
So those incentives are helping to push the industry in that direction.
Excellent. In April of this past year, CASA held its annual Green Building Summit. This is the third of those programs. Tell us about what happened there and what indications you witnessed. Are you generally satisfied with the tone and direction of things?
Yes, I am satisfied with the tone. This is actually the third summit we put on. Actually, the first one was prior to formation of CASA and helped lead to the formation of CASA. And very significantly, the highest priority point that came out of each of those summits, and I have to say they were attended by a good cross-section of the building industry. And when I say that, I'm talking about architects, engineers, contractors, home builders, product suppliers, manufacturers. We even had some developers involved in that, which is significant. The primary thing that came about, and everybody agreed, if we're going to move the green building effort forward, that it has to be done through upgrading the codes. And so now the codes have become our primary focus. In 2009, we are kicking off what we call the CASA Code Initiative. And that's going to be an initiative where we are going to meet the targets of the Architecture 2030 Challenge, which is basically immediate 20% to 30% energy reductions and incremental energy reductions up to the year 2030. That's not that far away anymore. It's only 21 years away, to carbon-neutral buildings. And that goal was a direct result of what came out of the summit. And also with that, we have to do continuing education, particularly of the industry. You know, it really is quite surprising how everybody talks about green building, knows about green building. But within our own industry here, it's really quite amazing how much of the industry doesn't really know the nitty-gritty, doesn't really know what it's going to take to get to the goal line.
I know as the organizer of CASA, you need to be extremely optimistic, but what challenges would you say are you going to face to get to the 2030 goal?
The biggest challenge is what I call two things. Within the private sector, there's always a resistance to change, always a preconception that this is going to cost a lot of money, which it isn't, really. I mean, it's going to cost a little bit of money, but it's not going to cost a lot of money. And the benefits far outweigh that investment. I mean, the return on investment is significant, the positive return on investment. But the other thing we're up against on the governmental side is something I've come to call bureaucratic sloth. One of the things we see now with President Obama in there, and he is talking about energy, which is excellent because we didn't have that for the last 8 years. But leaders, governors, president, mayors make proclamations, which are excellent, and say, we're going to do this, we're going to meet these targets. somehow once it filters down into the rank and file in the government, to the agencies, to the departments, it seems to hit, I don't know how to describe it other than mud. It just slows down significantly. And so, you know, our efforts right now, also part of our code initiative, is to partner here in New Mexico with the state government and the agencies in the state government that has have jurisdiction over the code, to partner with them and bring the expertise, the vision, the knowledge of the private sector community together with their internal code people, and work this together as partners moving forward. You know, most governments, pretty much every government right now, is suffering from budget crunches. They are having trouble just meeting their basic functions with the staff that they have, and they're not going to hire any new staff at this point. So we see this as an opportunity where we can bring and partner with them and augment their people to help get things going. They have a desire to do this. I mean, the desire is not lacking. They don't have the resources, the manpower to make it happen. We can help them with that. So I think that's the biggest challenge we're facing right now. And we're also facing challenges on the private sector from kickback. Well, kickback's not the right word, but resistance. There are certain industries out there, certain industry people that are stuck in their old ways, and they don't see that this is a real business opportunity for them.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about creation of green jobs. We're talking about creation of new industries. I heard Bill Clinton speak about a year and a half ago at the USGBC National Convention. His main focus was, his entire talk was, those governments, government entities that are not looking at getting into the green economy are going to be left in the dust at some point. But, you know, there are always people out there who are naysayers and who are going to say, oh, we don't need that, or they think it doesn't affect them, and they don't see the real opportunities for them business-wise to move forward. So those people need education. We need to bring them into the fold, and they need to understand that this is the way of the future. I kind of remember what happened with the whole technology revolution, where there were people poo-pooing that at that time. And, you know, look where we are today in terms of technology.
Howard, are there other CASA-like organizations elsewhere in the U.S., or is yours the only one?
Well, I'd like to think there are other CASA-like organizations, but I haven't located one. There are other organizations that we see. You know, there are certainly code organizations. They're all focused on the code. Our focus is a little bit broader than that. But I tend to think at this point we are somewhat unique. And one of our challenges this year is to get the word out in a more regional and national audience using technology, using the internet, the web, to really get the word out of the significance and the importance of what we're doing. Most organizations that are promoting energy efficiencies or green buildings are pretty much on the what we call the supply side, you know, power production, things like that. Our focus through the codes, through energy efficiencies, through incentives, is on the demand side. How can we lessen demand? And the demand side, I think, is the side that doesn't get enough press. The supply side gets all the press. But the demand side is the side that puts money in everybody's pocket because it reduces your monthly costs.
This
is a message that we need to get across.
Howard, how can our listeners learn more about how they can help CASA and its project?
Well, please go to our website, www.casa-center.org, and they can find out about that. They can get on our mailing list through the website. We are right now starting a pretty substantial renovation of the website. And in future times, we are a nonprofit organization, and we do make our money through contributions, and people will be able to contribute to us and keep our efforts going.
The website, again, is www.casa-center.org. We've been visiting with Howard Kaplan. He's the co-founder of CASA, an organization that is leading the transformation of the way buildings are designed and constructed. Howard, thanks for joining us on the program.
David, it has certainly been my pleasure, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
We'll be following your story. Thank you.
You've been listening to Small Biz Spotlight, up-close interviews with small business leaders and entrepreneurs across America. For more information about our guests or to subscribe, visit smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.